The rate of COVID infections in Norfolk and Waveney has fallen below 100 per 100,000 people for the first time in nearly 3 months. Data shows that the infection rate was at 99 cases per 100,000 on February the 17th. The last time the rate dipped below 100 was on November the 25th. And the number of neighbourhoods where the infection rate is at zero is growing, with 15 free of the virus for now, including places like Shipdham, Bradenham and Soame Tony in Breckland, Sheringham, North Walsham and Fakenham, as well as Southwold, Reydon and Wrentham. But despite the good news, there were 15 areas where rates grew, including five neighbourhoods that had returned rates of zero the week before. In Yarmouth North, cases climbed from zero to 10 in 1 week, while Reefham, Cawston and Lenwade also saw a jump from zero to 10 new cases. The biggest weekly rise in infection rates was seen in the South Tone and Cobholm neighbourhood of Great Yarmouth, where there were 19 fresh cases. Rates also tripled in the Lowestoft Harbour area, albeit from a very low base. There, 12 new cases were recorded. The area with the highest local rate of infections was Wayland, Ellingham and Great Hockham in Breckland, where 370 cases per 100,000 was recorded. The highest rate of local authority infections was in Great Yarmouth, where a rate of 140.9 was found, up 8.5% from the week before. Rates in all other local authority areas continued to fall, with the lowest rate found in North Norfolk, where 48 per 100,000 was recorded. The biggest fall was in King's Lynn and West Norfolk, where rates fell by 41.5% to 110. In Breckland and Norwich, rates of 124 and 118 were found. In South Norfolk, where mass testing is underway after the South African variant of the virus was found, there was also a fall in cases. Infections were down 20% to 60 per 100,000. And in Suffolk, infections are even lower than Norfolk, at 68 cases per 100,000.
Norfolk has been given more than £22 million worth of government funding to help prevent the spread of coronavirus in care settings. The Department for Health and Social Care has announced the Adult Social Care Infection Control Fund, which was first introduced in May 2020, will be extended, with Norfolk being able to use an extra £10.5 million worth of funding. Initially, the grant gave out £600 million of funding to care settings across the country, with Norfolk receiving more than £12 million to support social care providers to reduce the rate of transmission of the virus. The government has now announced they will be extending the scheme until March 2021, giving the country an extra £546 million of funding, of which Norfolk will receive £10.5 million. A spokesperson from the Care Quality Commission, CQC, the regulator of care facilities, said, "CQC view this as very good news for the county, especially considering the high amount of adult social care services there are in Norfolk, many of which have struggled during the pandemic." The allocation of funding was calculated by the number of care home beds and people supported by community care providers. Norfolk currently has 9,626 care home beds and 5,872 community care users, and received the eighth highest amount of funding from the government. The funding is split 80-20 between care homes within Norfolk and CQC community care providers, and will be put towards making sure any care staff who are isolating will receive their normal wages, support recruitment, provide accommodation for staff who choose to stay separate from their families, and limit staff movement between settings unless absolutely necessary. The funding can be used for purchases between October 1st, 2020 and March 31st, 2021.
Frontline hospital staff are among the first in the country to benefit from the rollout of simpler and more accurate saliva COVID tests. Combined with the vaccination program and rapid tests being introduced at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital, should help to significantly reduce the ability of the virus to spread in healthcare settings. The NHS staff have been using lateral flow tests, self-swabbing twice a week, to help identify asymptomatic staff. In contrast, the new LAMP loop-mediated isothermo amplification tests need to only be taken once a week, requiring a simple saliva sample rather than a nose swab, and positive results do not require an additional confirmatory PCR test. The samples are being analysed at the Earlham Institute, EI, a leading genomics research centre based on Norwich Research Park. A dedicated lab housing EI and NNUH scientists are ramping up to process up to 35,000 tests per week, with the results being available on the same day. The first of these new coronavirus tests have already been offered to NNUH staff, and a trust-wide rollout will follow, with the programme continuing across Norfolk and Waveney to gradually replace lateral flow tests. The new test is much simpler to take and very effective in detecting active virus. Crucially, it doesn't pick up traces of an old infection, said Dr. Karim Garbi, head of genomic pipelines and COVID testing lead at EI. This gives increased confidence, and those staff who do test positive are infectious and should self-isolate immediately to protect others. Dr. Ngozi Elumongo, consultant microbiologist and lab medicine clinical director heading up the program across the Norfolk and Waveney Health Partnership, said, "I am very proud to be leading a very dedicated team of NHS microbiology staff who have worked extremely hard to develop and deliver this new initiative in record time, in spite of the enormous increase in lab workload due to the COVID-19 pandemic." Professor Neil Hall, director of the Earlham Institute, said, "Testing remains a fundamental part of the national response to this pandemic. We've seen positive early signs from the vaccination program, but we know transmission rates remain very high, with most people having no symptoms. Getting the number of cases under control will limit the outbreak of new strains and give vaccines the best chance of success."
A £2.5 million plan aims to make big changes for walkers, cyclists, and public transport around Norwich Railway Station. The plans will see improvements at junctions for cars, priority lanes for buses, taxis, and cyclists, new pedestrian routes, and cut bus journey times by around a third. Members of Norfolk County Council's Transforming Cities Committee heard the plans for the station ahead of putting them out to public consultation. Martin Wilby, chairman of the committee, praised the plans, saying it would be doing something to improve one of the busiest areas in the city. The plan would see several existing pedestrian islands on the Foundry Bridge Junction removed and a widened, signalised crossing installed on the Riverside Road leg of the junction. On Thorpe Road, which carries more than 300 buses a day, the stretch between Riverside Road and Lower Clarence Road will be made into a bus lane to improve journey times into the city centre. Improvements to provide footway continuity are mooted for side roads off Riverside Road to benefit pedestrians, while Chalk Hill Road and St Matthews Road could become one way to stop rat running. The scheme also provides the opportunity to link with the existing cycle lane at the eastern end of Prince of Wales Road, and which continues along Rose Lane, providing a segregated cycle route into the city centre. The scheme has been put forward as part of the Department for Transport's Transforming Cities Fund, which has seen £32 million awarded to the city for its roads network. The plans were approved for going out to public consultation, which is expected to start in March.
A High Court challenge over changes made to disability support cost Norfolk County Council more than £120,000, it can be revealed. Last year, a High Court judge ruled that the County Council had acted unlawfully when it agreed to change its minimum income guarantee for disability support. The decision, which was made more than 2 years ago as a cost-cutting measure, meant more than 4,000 disabled people were left having to pay more for their adult social care. It was widely criticised at the time and led to the mother of a young woman with Down syndrome launching a judicial review against it. And after a judge ruled in favour of the mother, who cannot be named for legal reasons, the council agreed to reimburse those who had overpaid at a cost of around £1 million. And now the legal costs of the battle can be revealed after its settlement was agreed earlier this week. A spokesman for Norfolk County Council said, "The legal costs arising from the judicial review, including the claimant's costs, which have just been settled this week and which made up the bulk of the total, were £124,328,000. The money will come from reserves set aside for legal costs, not from service budgets." Cabinet agreed on January the 12th to respond in full to the judgment, not progressing further care charge changes and engaging with people affected and their families on a longer term approach. The judicial review came as a result of a decision in February 2019, which the Conservative controlled council said at the time of the move would save £4 million and bring the council into line with other local authorities. But a High Court judge ruled in December last year that in doing so, it had acted unlawfully and had discriminated against vulnerable recipients of the support, albeit in an unforeseen and unintentional way.
Victims of serious crimes are waiting several years for justice as coronavirus causes court backlogs to surge by more than a third. The courts, already struggling after years of cuts, were thrown into chaos by last year's outbreak. They closed between March and June, and when they reopened, jury trials were badly affected by social distancing rules. Nationally, the number of outstanding Crown Court cases has risen to 53,000, a 40% increase on last year. In Norfolk, there were 1,752 outstanding Crown Court cases at the end of 2020, compared to 1,257 the year before, a rise of 40%. The number of cases waiting to be heard in Norfolk involving sexual assault, drug offences and violence against the person has risen by more than 50% since 2019. While the number of cases to be heard involving possession of a weapon has more than doubled. Meanwhile, the number of trials held in Norfolk Crown Courts has plummeted by 65%, from 740 in the first three quarters of 2019 to 260 last year. Criminal defence lawyer and director of Belmore's Solicitors in Norwich, Simon Nichols, said he expects the delays to continue for the next 4 to 5 years. COVID has just shone a light on the problem, which is decades of cuts to the criminal justice system, he said. Before COVID, the average time for the courts to hear cases had already doubled between 2014 and 2018 in Norwich and King's Lynn Crown Courts, from 1 year to two. Bar spokesman and Suffolk-based barrister Simon Spence said, "I've seen cases taking 3 years, and the more serious cases involving sexual assault and the like are taking over a year now. In those cases, you often have an unconvicted defendant sitting in jail and an obviously distressed claimant facing long waits for the case to end." But he said, the backlog had existed long before COVID. Technology will be important going forward. For me, I see no reason for anyone to be in court unless they are participating in a jury trial or their client must appear in person, he added. According to Mr. Nichols and Mr. Spence, the main problem is simply a lack of capacity. Only around 50% of our court capacity is in use because of the pandemic, said Mr. Spence. But even before March, around 20% of courtrooms were unused. A Ministry of Justice spokesman said it had worked hard to keep Norfolk's courts open throughout the pandemic and was prioritising urgent cases while opening Nightingale courts and increasing use of video technology. They added the government has invested £450 million in the court system, with outstanding cases in Magistrates Court lower than last year's peak, and the number of Crown Court cases being dealt with back at pre-pandemic levels.